welcome to the Astrology Oddcast. I start the day with yoga this morning. I don't know if any of you find this, but it makes me a bit too chilled out. I need a little bit of stress to make me move. Otherwise, I'm like, yeah, in a minute. So sorry, it is already 2:44 and I'm just making the pod. They were digging last night, so I couldn't get on with it. We've got an exciting week of astrology. You ready for the headlines? Where are we today? We are on the 26th as I speak. So I'll ignore today because it's already quite late. Thursday, the 27th, we have the moon opposition Uranus, the moon in Scorpio. The moon is in Scorpio now, but it's opposing Jupiter. So we don't have the sometimes usual heaviness of a Scorpio moon. I think Jupiter is lifting it. And Uranus, you know, it's smashing through the fixity. And I'm seeing that a lot in my life and in my clients, that fixed people, particularly the Taurus Scorpio axis, which I just, it's just the fixest of the fixed. I didn't even say it right, but whatever. You know, like this Taurus energy is fixed earth. It's so fixed. And having Jupiter and Uranus in it is expanding it and therefore changing the density. It's less dense and Uranus is smashing through it. So there is an opposition for the Scorpio Taurus where change is happening. We are seeing people who have been entrenched moving. Things are moving. Mercury and Venus are together, have been together, will be together tomorrow, 28 degrees of Leo, which is always fun, always sociable. Venus is obviously retrograde, so we got some kind of mishmash there, some confusion. Not confusion, confusion's the wrong word, but not necessarily what you'd expect from a Mercury Venus. So Mercury could be passing on a message of, like for me, I imagine it will be, your phone has been blacklisted, finally. My phone was stolen on Monday and I call three to be like, yeah, my phone's been nicked. And they go, okay, we'll prove it's yours. So I've got to send them an email from Apple because I bought it direct from Apple. And they're like, yeah, that'll take 5 working days. I was like, what do you mean? It's been nicked. Cancel it now. Like, no, I was like, I'll send you the email now. I've got the receipt. I'll send it now. Different department. Sorry, dear. I was like, are you fucking joking? I can go on my Apple, what's it, find my iPhone and see where my phone is. And you fuckers can't cancel it for 5 days. And you're a tech firm. So much wrong with the world. Anyway, Thursday. Moon moves into Sag eventually. Early hours of Friday morning, UK time, I imagine. I'm looking at this thing, you know, that's in the US. Then the ephemeris is US timings. So it's all a little bit off. It says here 5:24 PM. So you add on 8 hours, I would imagine. Because then you've got the EST and the PST and all that, the, you know, Eastern Standard Time, Pacific Standard Time. Friday, Freitag. The moon will be in Sag. Mercury is right at the end of Leo in conjunct Pluto. I imagine that's a bit of an arse because that 29 degree thing has not been great. It's been a very, very intense week. And I don't know if people are telling me about thefts just because I have my phone stolen, aka was mugged, or what, but deaths, like, you know, someone I know had a client murdered. Jesus, you know, and then someone else has messaged me today to say that their daughter was found dead. I was just like, fuck. So, but we've got lots of things at 29 degrees and 29 is the end of your sign and it's urgent and it's critical and it's stressful and it's intense. And I think the intensity was palpable, particularly I found on Monday. And then yesterday I had clients all day, which was such a blessing because the ultimate meditation is seeing a client and just focusing on them and their chart and just being totally and utterly absorbed in them. And it was like back after back. So by the end of the day, I was exhausted. And I wasn't doing much admin. It's really nice to have client days where I'm not just on my computer doing admin or other things, writing or, you know, doing the podcast. Like the podcast is nice, but still it's not as absorbing as seeing a client. Okay, so that's Friday. Distractions. Mercury moves to Virgo on Freitag. Saturday, the moon will enter Capricorn after. Eventually, we have a nice Moon-Venus trine, nice fiery setup. So anyone with planets in late Aries will enjoy that. I think that'll be a really nice day for you Saturday. Moon enters Capricorn. On Sunday, the moon does all those earthy transits, so like trine to Jupiter, trine to Mars. That will be a grand trine. I like that. Big fan of that for everybody. Moon in Capricorn. So Mars is about 10 degrees of Virgo and Jupiter's about 13 degrees of Taurus. So we've got a building Mars-Jupiter trine, and then you whack in some Capricorn placements, and that's a very nice. Interesting. I hadn't thought about that for myself. And I said this, I recorded a podcast this morning with Wendy O'Byrne, and I'm not going to say anymore because you have to listen to that when it comes out. Monday the 31st, Moon still in Capricorn, then making some dodgy squares and conjunctions to Chiron and Pluto. And then the Moon will enter Aquarius. Then we'll have the full Moon on Tuesday, which I shall be going into as we get on with the pod. So when I look at Thursday, which is the 27th of July, I can see the fixity staring me in the face. So Mercury and Venus at 28 degrees of Leo. That's interesting. I do think there'll be some message. Like for me, it was about my phone being nicked. I don't know what it is for you, but we are looking at a retrograde Venus meeting Mercury that's forward. There's some kind of message from the past or the future going on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because one of the planets is retrograde. It's not just straightforward Mercury, Venus, people are charming, or we all want to get out, we want to show off or be seen because it's in Leo and it's like, da, 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 I'm going to sing it instead of say it. Mercury, Venus in Leo. There is something of the characters of your lives being played out and a story that's involves some level of reconsideration, because we've potentially already had. I'm not sure about the last Mercury Venus conjunction when that was, because Mercury does move faster than Venus, so I imagine it's not been for some time. Nonetheless, just consider that with whatever's going on tomorrow, the messages that you get, the women that you see, the stories of reunions. It could also just be lovely. You know, I'm a fan of a retrograde sometimes. If this was the other way around and Mercury's retrograde conjunct Venus, I'd be expecting to bump into lots of friends and have a lovely day. I'd be expecting some kind of connection. So, you know, aim for the high, but also keep your ears open for interesting things, interesting stories that make you wake up and ask questions, especially when we consider that the moon is applying to that conjunction. The moon is in Scorpio. So she's also just playing into the communication and the warmth and the fun and the community potentially, but somehow it could be emotionally jarring. I just think it's potentially emotionally jarring. We've got the moon in Scorpio, which is always deep, and then with Venus retrograde in conjunct Pluto, forming this yod that we have in the sky. I've done this on Instagram stories. If you've seen my reels, I'd made two about the yod, so you've potentially seen it. Pluto at 28, Venus at 28, Neptune at 27. But it's not oppositions. There's a 60 degrees between the Pluto and Neptune. Yeah. So two signs apart. And then they're both five signs apart from Venus. So it's a long pointy triangle, finger of God, fated aspect. And then when we also consider the fact that Pluto is square to the nodes and they're all at 29 degrees, it's like so intense, so Plutonic. That's why I'm not surprised to have heard about theft, death, crime, the underworld stuff, the dark stuff, the shady stuff. It's not surprising that that's what's gone on. And that, you know, as soon as my phone was taken, I was just like, come on, friend. Like, everyone's like, don't blame yourself. Like, I know, yeah, but also I am an astrologer, you know, and I did know exactly what was going on in the skies, in which case, would you not be more alert? I tell you what I would have done if I was abroad. It's because I'm at home. There's no way if I was in France or Italy or Brazil and I was walking around a tourist hotspot, i.e. Tower Bridge, there's no way I'd just walk around with my phone out like a gormo. But it's because I live here and I've been doing it for 2.5 years. And I've, you know, been fine. A lot of people I've lived with, though, people have tried to nick their phones. Happens all the time. But again, you get used to it. How am I one of those people that's got used to living in London? The guy on the insurance, when I rang, clearly just thought I was a lunatic for living here. I remember when all my mates were at uni down here and I was in Durham. Like, I think one person was mugged. One drunk student in 3 years that I heard of. You know, I'm from Nottingham, so I wasn't naive, but my friends, if I rang my friends and they were on a bus in London, they wouldn't talk to me. because they were on the bus in London. They weren't that stupid. So yeah, it's another world. And I don't know, you know, also being philosophical about it. So we have Mercury square Uranus as well. When my phone was stolen, Mercury was at 22, 23. Uranus was at 22 of Taurus. Mercury's in Leo, obviously still is. And I have my moon in Taurus. So Uranus is on my moon. Mercury the thief, you know, Mercury retrograde, bounce, everything gets nixed, was square my moon. And I'm just walking around Venus retrograde, Pluto square the nodes, in my yoga clothes, thinking life's fine. And then the universe goes, wake up, lady, wake up, wake up. And also the compulsion. I was giving into a compulsion to reply to something that could have waited, but I'd given in to the compulsion. I scratched the itch. That's not yogi of me. I was on the way to yoga. I've learned over the past 10 years not to scratch the itch, to wait, to sit with it, to like stay in, you know, what's the pose called? In Warrior Two. And have an itch and just be like, I'm not itching it. Burn. And you just, you let the rage inside you burn. You sit with it. I had a client yesterday. He was like, oh, my mind's too fast for yoga. I was like, you're talking to me. Do you not? Don't you think I thought that? Like I am not yogi. I am there because I need to tame my mind, and it's hard, hard work. I've said it before. I'll always say it, because particularly under skies like this, it's important, because that gives you then awareness. If I was aware and as present, if I'd been to yoga in the morning and I was fully in my body and I was fully aware, I wouldn't have been gorming out in a tourist hotspot where thieves are notorious and just playing on my phone. I don't blame myself. Okay, I'm not, but I am taking responsibility for the part I played, you know? And also that's the lesson that I want to take from it, whether you agree or not. Do you know what I mean? The lesson I want to take is bring that awareness in. I talk about it all the time. And I talk about it all the time because it's something I need to learn, because I'm rising Gemini and I have a busy head, and you've listened to me speak, you know, bang, 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 bang. Like I'm just quick, and I have to harness it. I have to wrestle that. It's challenging for me, and it's challenging for all of us, I think. But I do think some more than others. And at a certain point, they call it ADHD, I believe. And whether that is something we can manage within ourselves, or whether it is something that needs diagnosing and medicating, is a big debate. Because some people really swear by medication and say it helps them. I am kind of hardline in thinking that there's a natural way of doing things, but maybe not, you know? Okay. And just while I'm on the subject of my phone being stolen, I chased the guy because I was going to yoga. All I had was my phone. My phone is, you know, my keys, it's everything. So all I had with my phone, my headphones, no coat, nothing. And I just chased him. I was basically ready to go for a run, had my trainers on, my leggings, and I ran. And he got around the corner and there were so many people. I was like, stop him, stop him. And there was builders at the end of the road. One of them had a plank of wood in his hands and he was a meter away from him. And I said, stop him, he's got my phone. And this guy dropped the plank of wood and then kind of scrambled at him. It's like, what am I seeing here? What is this? And the guy got off the bike. I don't know. And he was pushing the bike. And I don't know if it's because he was on an electric bike that was a bit too heavy. Or what I've learned now from so many people messaging me on Instagram, which is worth everybody knowing, particularly if you live in London, is that if your phone is open, like mine was, because I was in the middle of an email, they can get in and go on Amazon or go on whatever and spend. And so people are having their whole fucking card wiped. You know, they're going on to the internet and not the internet. What am I saying? Yeah, they go on and they're like Burberry handbag, $7,000 here, $5,000 there, spend, spend, spend. And your accounts are cleared within seconds. But so he'd got off the bike and he had obviously had my phone and I was chasing him. So then I had to get back on his bike and fuck off. But I chased him for 6 streets. It made me really ill. I've been doing couch to 5K. You know, I ran 6K on Saturday. So I can run for like a bit. And for some reason, he just wasn't that fast. So I was like shouting, stop him, stop him. All these useless people. I gave myself lung damage until I was on the phone to Izzy yesterday. And I my food went down the wrong way and I had a choking attack, which I realized afterwards is now cleared. I had this cough, persistent cough, since I had chased him all of Monday and Tuesday. And then last night I nearly choked and healed it. Oh dear. I was joking. We were FaceTiming. I was like, oh my God, these transits are going to kill me, man. I don't know what's going on, but stay safe. Stay safe, everyone. But the thing is, with Uranus transits, it's things like that that I know I can see in my chart. Uranus is on my moon. Life's unpredictable. So, but what else can I do? What can I do? Not eat? Not choke? Not walk by the river with my phone and be more alert. You know, I wouldn't drive and text, you know, changing the songs, things like that. But on the other hand, the sky is what it is. And also like the outbursts that maybe need to be had, saying things. It's like the lid, the fucking pressure's coming off. And I think that for all of us, Uranus is in Taurus. We've all got Taurus somewhere in our charts. And whatever's been stuck is being blown up. We have Pluto in Aquarius. We have Pluto in a fixed sign. Pluto will be back in Aquarius in January. And it's all being shoved about. But it's very, you know, it's always interesting as an astrologer to be like, fuck, you know, these transits are precise. You know, Mercury square my moon, Uranus on my moon. Precise, precision. So when Uranus gets to 2022, 2023 Scorpio, whenever that is, October, November, you know, what's going to happen? I don't know, but I'd probably be more alert. I was on, when I was on Wendy's podcast, I think, I don't know if I put people off because I was on her podcast like 90 minutes after they nicked my phone. And I was like, you know what? I've got a lot going on astrologically at the minute. So, and it's a lot to live with. It's a lot to know. I personally find it helpful. It doesn't bother me. I find it fascinating that Mercury at 23 and my moon at 23 to the letter is a mercurial guy on a bike nicks my phone. Like the astrology is perfect. I didn't manifest it. He manifested my phone though. So we could talk about manifesting and I did in Wendy's podcast. Okay, that's enough on that. But think about it, you know, keep track of these things. But a lot of the astrology that we do is retrospective because it is so open-ended. It's so open-ended. But, you know, for instance, when I was looking, what day is it? Tomorrow, Thursday, Moon square Mercury. So the Moon will square Mercury, but they're later on now. They're at 27, 28, 28. Yeah. Moon square Venus, Moon square Mercury tomorrow evening. Could be fun. Could be sociable, like I've already said. Could be spicy. The Moon is translating information. The Moon carries the information from one planet to the next as she transits. Okay, if I look at Friday, we can see that Mercury's at 29. So that's all in the yod as well, particularly on Thursday, that yod to Venus-Mercury conjunction. Financial markets. I don't know if there's any news coming out tomorrow. I've not actually read my financial newsletter yet that I will be posting later. So yeah, I'm very curious because as well, money is currency. Mercury is information. Yod to the Mercury-Venus conjunction. There's got to be some big financial market move tomorrow, especially when we consider the moon's in Scorpio opposite Uranus. Yeah, that's what that is. There's got to be some big news around that tomorrow. And maybe it's that retract. I know in the UK, what's his chops? Nigel Farage's account had been blocked and now she's apologising for saying she said it. It's not true or something. I don't know. But it could be something surrounding that. But I'd say it's bigger. Very, very dark. It's going to piss it down because it always rains on Thursdays, as you've been informed. The sun in conjunction Saturn on Friday. Saturn at 5 degrees, sun at 5 degrees. That's kind of awkward. Tired end of the week. Bit of an interesting day there. Moon's in Sag though, and moon is trine sun. So practical application. Good day for selling, potentially. Good day for selling. I might launch Learn to Predict because I haven't done it yet. I was gonna do it the weekend and then I was like, nah, doesn't feel right. Maybe this astrology fits. I think I'll do it on Friday. Learn to Predict. So yeah, I keep going into it and just making it better, basically. And I'm going to get Israel to teach a class on progressions whilst I'm away, just because I think a little bit of live teaching is nice. And I don't use progressions loads. I use them, but I also think, and I know from feedback from previous courses, is that everybody enjoys having a different teacher, because it's just good. Different ways of explaining things, better. To have a little bit of variety, I like it. So, and Israel's great. I think he's a really good teacher. So that's that Friday. Oh yeah, and then eventually, of course, Mercury leaves rambunctious Leo and lands in Virgo, where he will be moving to oppose Saturn and meet Mercury. So that's good. I think Mercury in Virgo is going to help with the organizing, with the planning, with the moving out, with the detail, with the paying invoices, with the all these things. I think Mercury is going to be really helpful in Virgo, and I'll do some Mercury horoscopes at the end of the pod. Saturday, Moon in Sag, moving to trine Chiron in the, like, what time? That'll be about late morning. I would, if poss, be going to yoga. Some low-key healing. But that's quite a grand trine, really. So we've got Moon in Sag. We have Venus at 27 of fire sign Leo and North Node at 28 of fire sign Aries. So as the Moon progresses, we've got a grand trine in fire, which is always great for activity, getting things done, being all over here, there, everywhere. On the same, at the same point, we have, oh, Moon square Neptune, not so much. Missed that, excuse me. So Neptune's at 27, Venus is at 27, in conjunct one another. Secrets, sleight of hand affairs, particularly because Venus is retrograde. Romance, confusion about what you want, feeling like, oh shit, feelings like you've fallen for someone and you're like, I don't think this should be happening, but it is, and could be fun, honestly. I'm buying into the idea more and more that squares aren't always bad and trines aren't always good, that it's just a connection of the energy, and it is a stressful connection, but it can also be provocative and evocative due to the nature of the planets involved. Neptune and Venus are evocative. Neptune is said to be a higher octave of Venus, so we are talking about all the romance and it could be some like weird art, you know, modern art. So yeah, they're both evocative planets. And Uranus, when I look at the chart, as opposed to looking at the ephemeris, my eye is already drawn to this now applying square as Venus moves retrograde back towards Uranus, of just the outburst. This is such an exciting Venus retrograde. Last time when Venus was retrograding in Capricorn, it was like, yeah, you know, banks. I went off to Mexico. That was wicked. So good. Loved it. But I don't think it was, I don't recall a Venus retrograde this exciting, this intense, with aspects that are rug pulls and really intense and pushing it over the edge. It's not just about your identity and your love. And I've said this on Instagram as well. I think we can undermine. It's the same with Mercury retrograde. And I definitely recall this with Mercury, that some Mercury retrogrades are like, yeah, whatever. It's just Mercury retrograde. Do your stuff. It might be a bit tricky. And then there's other Mercury retrogrades that are like airport strikes and Instagram broke. You remember when Instagram broke, when Mercury's retrograde, like it was offline for 2 hours, and Twitter, and like everything. There's sometimes it's just bigger transits, because it's not just about Mercury, it's about all the aspects he's making. And this particular Venus retrograde is so pinnacle. It's like also the Barbie movies release, you know how this release of the movies Oppenheimer and Barbie, they're so huge, and on the one hand it's like, okay, get over it. On the other hand, it reflects the intensity of the astrology that's going on, this thing that is taking over everybody. You can't escape it, even if you're not into it. Do you know what I'd love to check is, I'm going to check it right now, Titanic. I went to see Titanic, I believe, on the 13th of Feb, 1998. Let's see what was going on. I had a client yesterday and I was looking at the chart of the 7th of July 2013, which we call Dolphin Day because it's the day we went out and we're in Devon. Andy Murray, it was a heat wave. Murray won Wimbledon. And then my sister's friend lived in Devon and had a boat. And we all went out and the water was still like stunning, like no waves. The sea was flat. And we had a bottle of fizz, maybe two. And we went out on the boat and just like drank it. And then he drove us to a pub. Like he was a local guy, bit of a party boy. Took us to a pub, got the Jager bombs in because he's, you know, that kind of lad. And so then everyone like, then we got another one, then we got another one, then we're hammered. And then we went back out on the boat and the dolphins came to the boat in Devon and started swimming. And we were like drunk, happy as Larry, perfect weather, 7 p.m. Devon, like what is going on? It was exceptional. It was like so good. One of the best days of my life. It was so phenomenal. And then we just, you know, we just have, you know, just a night that's really, really good. And I saw yesterday, it was a new moon conjunct Jupiter in Cancer. So we just had the new moon in Cancer. So if you enjoyed that, you might know how that, you know, Cancer, we were all with family, friends, blah, blah, blah. And then Saturn was stationing direct in Scorpio. So we had a Saturn station, like this pause. Saturn was still in the sky in Scorpio. So it was just this emotional, ineffable experience. And I saw the chart yesterday and just couldn't believe it. Anyway, so what I want to look at is this. What was going on when Titanic was released? Titanic the movie, 23rd of Jan. So I was quite late to see it because I was probably resisting because anything that is popular, I don't like. I didn't watch Friends for years. I refused to watch Friends. And now it's the only thing I watch. Neptune was at 29 Capricorn. Go figure. The big Capricorn institution. Venus was retrograde. Fuck. Yes. Love this. Do you love this? Let's get an ephemeris for 1998. Ephemeris for 98. Venus stationed retrograde when? She was already retrograde. And she stationed direct on the 6th of Feb. So it must have been, well, it must have been the same as 2021. 2022. So she must have stationed retrograde on the 19th or thereabouts because she repeats. Let's have a look. 26th, 27th of December, she stationed retrograde conjunct Uranus. But then if we look at the Titanic release date, which I just said, but now I've lost, January 23rd, Venus was retrograde conjunct Neptune in Capricorn. So in the same way, because that's the only other movie I remember taking a grip as much as this Barbie movie's taken a grip. Do you know what I mean? I there must have been other films. Jurassic Park was probably massive. And in the meantime, I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is this to me feels like when Titanic was released. It's just, it's madness. It's a madness that's taken over the nation. You know, I don't watch TV. It's just from the radio and media, and just it's just everywhere. And Venus was retrograde then as well. And so that links us to something from the past, perhaps nostalgia, in as much as that Venus being retrograde in Leo is about Barbie, who I know everyone's like, well, she's a Pisces because the release date for Barbie was the 9th of March, 1960 something. But come on, she's a Leo. Have you seen her? Fuck's sake. Like, please look at the glyph of Leo. She looks like the fucking glyph of Leo, like with the ponytail. So, yeah, I mean, yes, Barbie's a Pisces, but she's obviously Leo. I think her IC is in Leo because we look like our IC, according to Jessica Adams, and I agree. Yeah, I mean, that's all I need to do with that. Sun was conjunct Uranus, so something about shock and people, and you would normally think airplanes, but without going into the Titanic launch date in the UK, I don't know when it was in the States. Was it the same? Oh, it's the 19th of December, 1997. So that was as Venus was stationing retrograde. So, you know, that was the date I thought we would be looking at because Venus stationed retrograde on December the 19th, 2021. There we go. Is everyone happy with that? When Venus is retrograde, obviously cult things happen. People become moved emotionally because Venus and Neptune are such evocative planets. They become moved. And what we also had then was Venus conjunct Neptune for the UK launch. And we've got Venus in conjunct Neptune for the Barbie launch. So it's the Neptune as well that is when something grabs the collective. For instance, when I spoke about that, when the Queen died, because there was a moon, full moon in Pisces conjunct Neptune. And I predicted we're going to have some kind of thing that grips everyone, because that's what happens under Neptune. So we get gripped. Venus retrograde in aspect to Neptune, we are gripped. Okay, back in the room. On Sunday, we have the moon in Capricorn, trine Mercury, trine Mars in Virgo, trine Jupiter, and eventually trine Uranus. That Capricorn moon will also be squaring Chiron, but that's not till Monday. So Sunday, we do still have our yod in play. Venus will be at 27, Neptune 27, Pluto at 28. That's still there. Mercury is applying to Saturn slowly. But other than that, I'm liking that. I'm into Sunday. I am into an earthy, practical flow. I like that. And I mentioned that when I did the top line headlines. If I look at the 31st of July, then I can see that we have the moon conjunct Pluto, square the nodes. What would that bring? Intense focus. Pluto, by the way, is at 28 as of tomorrow, as of Thursday. So we're losing some of that 29 degree intensity. Yes. But with Pluto conjunct the moon, or moon conjunct Pluto on Monday, yeah. Intense focus, transformation, bringing up a lot of what's been going on. The nodes are also at 28. It's still a T-square. It's still very strong. But I would think, yeah, it's still active. It's very cardinal sky. There's a lot going on. Mars in Virgo is like tweaking. So yeah, practical. And then, so Monday, the moon will, yes, she'll be conjunct Pluto and she'll square the nodes, and she will square Chiron, which can be tender. That's earlier in the day, in the morning on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we have the full moon, of course. So eventually late Monday, the moon moves into Aquarius, and then she looks close to Pluto. I mean, the moon is not close to Pluto at the full moon, really, but it is only 11 degrees. You could say that her influence is there, but the moon is square to Jupiter, which is abundant as anything. What else have we got going on at the full moon? Mercury will be at 5 degrees. Saturn will be at 5 degrees. We have a Mercury-Saturn opposition. That's final. That's decisive. It's hard decisions. Full moons are full circle moments. They are a completion. They are the manifestation of whatever began 18 months ago, which I presume will be 2021 again. Yeah, so end of Jan or early Feb 2021, whatever you're intending then, look back. Is there a connection? And because Mercury is opposite Saturn, there is some sort of finality, decisiveness, but also opportunity that comes with letting go of something, because Jupiter's involved. Jupiter can bring too much of a good thing. He can be stressful, but I think there is an open-hearted element to possibility and vision. You know, the energy is high as a full moon. It feels like sometimes feel overwhelming, and if there are dodgy aspects involved, which, you know, this is close to Pluto, I have already said that it can be, like, if we do consider this a full moon widely conjunct Pluto with Mercury opposite Saturn, Uranus widely conjunct Jupiter, who is square the full moon, that there could be some cutting off and moving, but it could also be liberating. There is an element of like, oh, I think it feels like things slotting to place in your brain, like the cogs, you know, when you've been on your bike and nothing's been lining up, and it, like the wheels are spinning and the cogs aren't catching with the chain, and then it's like everything goes back in place. Something that was off comes back online, but only because you've addressed it. That's how I see it. I am doing an event on the full moon on Monday, the 30th, this Monday. It's free for the Cosmic Club, but you can drop in to the event if you want. And it's all on my website. So I will be digging into this lunation in more detail, but I think it's interesting. We'll see, you know, that the downloads will arrive and I'll probably talk. Am I going to do a podcast next week? Potentially. I probably will. I'm going to record a few more interviews because I've got an astrology newsletter that I follow, and it used to arrive every Monday, and then it changed. And because it changed, I stopped reading it, just because it was part of my routine. It was something I opened on a Monday. I've got another one that I opened on a Saturday. I've got other, you know, not astrology, just other newsletters. And when they don't come, it's just a bit like, and so I'm happy to put everything on holiday, and maybe go, okay, send you an email and go listen to this podcast. And maybe I'll do change of format, so I'm not making them in August. I do want August off ish, but yeah, I understand that if you drop the rhythm, it's not so good. I don't like it. Okay, yeah, Mercury will eventually, after the full moon, oppose Saturn. Exactly, which can actually make people tired. So there's a paradox there, because the full moon is high energy, but a Mercury Saturn is often exhausting. And, you know, anxious, detail focused. Let's see what I've got in cycles for the old, give you a little snippet. Here comes August with a super moon in Aquarius square to Jupiter. From an astrological perspective, this looks extremely buoyant and excitable. Yet the Four of Cups is a reminder to consider one key feature of Jupiter transits: overwhelm. This full moon will bring all our relationships into the spotlight. Full moons are always about relationships, but this is a super moon and our subconscious will be amplified. Aquarius is a sign most associated with friendship. So this could be that it's a time where we are finding it hard to balance our family life, romantic relationships, friendships, professional connections, and all the rest. The pull to connect with others is strong, but there's only so much time. And when we spread ourselves too thinly, we can find ourselves frazzled. Venus retrograde in Leo could suggest an overcompensation for where we lack confidence and seek reassurance by being the party person who is loved by all. I'm not going to read all of cycles, because you can buy it if you want to read my, you know, my insights. But yeah, that's the vibe I've got. If you want to join on Monday, do join. Okay, let's finish up here. On Wednesday, we have Moon square Uranus and Moon opposite Venus. So we fall into that fixed sky again. We're familiar, we're au fait with this fixed sky now, with crypto moves and surprises and shocks, particularly for those of you who are fixed in nature. Expect movement, expect earthquakes, be ready for it. And the moon will eventually move into Pisces very late in the day on Wednesday or early on Thursday, depending where you are in the world. So, oh yeah, also, sorry, at the full moon, I should also say that Mars is trine Jupiter, exactly. Just 2 hours after the full moon, which means it is applying. There is an application of energy, which again is why I've said it's so buoyant, because Mars trine Jupiter is like, boom, 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 we can do this. But we've also got Mercury opposition Saturn. I like that. It kind of gives a clarity that the ending that you're putting into play is also opening a new door. It makes endings easier because you see the possibility of what's ahead. Okay, so I'm just going to do some scopes for Mercury in Virgo. So Aries, of course, Mercury at home in Virgo is about your work, your daily routines. You could be busier, sending more messages, getting more requests for things, commerce potentially, but communications. So maybe think about getting an assistant, sorting it out, because if you're drowning in admin, or you're running around after your pets, or whatever things that it's kind of taking over, you're addressing the small details of your life and thinking about how you can make them more organized, particularly because, of course, as at the beginning of this transit, we are considering the fact that Mercury is opposed to Saturn. So it's like improving, challenging. Taurus, Mercury is going to be in your fifth house. This is to do with your children, fun and games, your creativity, your self-expression, getting on the stage, putting yourself out there, singing a song, bringing the crowd together, connecting people. Gemini, Mercury, your ruler, is in the fourth house. And that means that you are tidying your home. You're organizing, liaising, with family, going back and forth, bringing things into action, organizing your work, organizing the details, home and life balance, being organized. Cancer, this is in your third. So you're reading a lot, thinking a lot, talking a lot, chatting a lot, more than usual. Refining your ideas, reconsidering what you previously thought, having conversations with people that are perhaps are quite intense, think a lot is being pushed to the surface. We have a full moon around the time of this transit of Mercury moving into Virgo, which, just to repeat myself, is on Friday. So a lot is building, and with Mercury in your third house of communication, it's about the talking, the emails, the sorting out your inbox, and having an atta with the neighbors, maybe selling things, with interacting, sharing things, communicating, going on a bike ride, going to see your friends. Leo, with Mercury in your second house and Saturn in your eighth, I think this transit is making you look at what you value, look at how you spend your money, how you communicate. I'm going to say communicate. I can't help it. If I see Mercury in Virgo, it's communicate, whatever house it's in. But you are communicating about your money, and you invest in your self-esteem and how you value yourself, and you're talking about it, and you're rethinking your investments because more stuff is coming to light. For Virgo, it's in your sign. So it just means a period of much more communication, talking to people, organizing all the Virgo things that you do, but heightened. So you're going to get people coming to you, asking you for things. You're going to be connecting people. You're going to be doing the mercurial function much more than usual, and maybe having some difficult conversations with your partners, maybe taking responsibility for your communication with your partner. Libra, you might be thinking about your dreams and exploring your subconscious, understanding how your diet and your day-to-day life, and how much you walk and how much you exercise, and how much your responsibility to that service, and how much you look after other people, exploring how much free time that gives you and how able you are to process everything that needs processing. Scorpio, with Mercury in your 11th house, you are communicating with friends and networks. There's maybe a sense of confidence or that you're working on at the moment with Saturn in your fifth house. And with Mercury up in your 11th, you're more able to talk and connect people and breathe life into social situations because you are approaching them with maturity and you understand what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said. You're very good at not oversharing. That might change towards the end of the month. But at the moment, there is a certain guard. Perhaps you feel too guarded to do that. And you're painfully aware of where you're too shy or struggling with shyness or struggling to express yourself. And you're going to have some time maybe to work on that. And then towards the end of the month, that will loosen up. Sag, this Mercury is in your 10th. So you're looking at your work. Maybe you are getting help, mercurial help. You're doing a lot of emails, getting a lot of communication. You're talking to your boss. You are putting energy into the structure of your organization, and helping that balance your home and work life. There is something to do with parents, parents and family, and the implications, like how much time, how is your home life, work life balance going in, and how can you be more organized in the business if you're running your own business? Capricorn, Mercury is in your 9th. So that means you are exploring your ideas and the way you think about things. It's being upgraded with Saturn in your 3rd. So you too are learning to communicate more empathetically and reach people in a way that they can hear it and feel heard, feel connected. Mars and Mercury in your 9th house of travel, philosophy, beliefs, ideas. You're reading a textbook on holiday. I mean, it could be as simple as that you are just doing the detail stuff. And, oh, the bee just came to visit me, but my flowers have died. I feel so bad. There's something about your faith and your question, maybe asking questions about what you deeply believe. Maybe you're having some glasses of wine and musing what is it all about? The deeper questions. Aquarius, Mercury's in your 8th house of finance. So just like your Leo counterpart, you're exploring your investments, your time, where you put your money. Do you put your money where your mouth is? Your inheritance. Is there anything that can be, I don't know, what is going on out there? What do you trust? Who do you trust? Reading the small print of your bank or your ISA or your whatever you're about to invest in. It's about reading the small print, Aquarius, and taking responsibility for what you own. Could be getting insurance out as well, actually, because, you know, if crime's on the up, the insurance is also implicated for Aquarius and Leo to a certain extent. And maybe to everyone, but really Leo and Aquarius. Okay, Pisces, this is Mercury in your seventh. So busy, lots of friends, seeing lots of people, catching up with lots of people. You might feel tired, you might feel overwhelmed, just like, oh, go away, everyone. But actually, yeah, it's quite an energizing time. And if you did want to meet someone, Pisces, if you're on the lookout for love, or you just want to hang out with your friends, this is a good time to do it. It's a good time to make a contact, to send emails, to reach out to people. Okay, this has been the Astrology Oddcast with me, Francesca Oddi. Please do remember to like, subscribe, review on the apps. Actually do it. I know it's effort, but if you could, if you want to leave a good review, that would be great. If you don't bother. And yes, Learn to Predict is coming. I'm doing an event on Monday and then I'm going away. So there will be some interviews. I'm going to try and still have something released a Wednesday, so that those of you who are in the habit of listening on a Thursday or a late Wednesday, don't lose the habit. Okay, thank you so much for listening and see you next time.